you affectionately. Welcome. It's nice that you made the effort to come for Ram Navami, Lord Ramachandra's appearance day here into the Dharma Castle. I want to also greet our guests online. Don't know who you are, but I appreciate that you come through the glass fiber cable, the cable here to us and for this celebration. I would like to really say at the outset that this festival or this celebration is very important for two ways. We do become conscious of someone. At the moment, our mind engages with that person. To bring Lord Ramachandra today into our mind by hearing about his glories will hopefully help all of us to become more aware of him and our role or his role in our lives. There's a verse. Purusho Ramacharitam Shravaner Upadarayan Anrishangsha Parorajan Karma Bandir Nimuchyate. It says that anyone who orally receives, in other words, who hears the narration about Lord Ramachandra and his pastime, will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of karma. And Prabhupada speaks how important this is to become free of our envious nature. It means bad feelings about someone else. He says, in this material world, everyone is envious of someone else. Even in religious life, it is sometimes found that if one devotee has advanced in spiritual activities, other devotees are envious of him. Such envious devotees are not completely freed from the bondage of birth and death. So we need to see that this is a big problem to the attempt to build a community. When we are trying to build a spiritual community, it may sometimes happen that in the process of associating with each other, bad feelings between each other develop. And if that is the case, then we are not free from the bondage of birth and death. It means our material life will continue. So hearing about the beautiful and wonderful activities, nature, and pastimes of Lord Ramachandra is like a big heart cleaner, no? It purifies the heart from this tendency to be envious, to have ill feelings against others. It is important. I think if there would be a big loud 5 million loudspeakers placed all over Ukraine and Russia and America and Germany, you know, there would be constant Ram Katha, then the feelings for each other might improve. And in India, this is in fact done. You find at the time of when Lord Ramachandra's activities go on, there are big loudspeakers and brum, brum, brum. It is sometimes, for my taste, a little bit too loud even. So the idea is given in this verse that when there is a propagation of God consciousness, of then the heart becomes peaceful and loses its envious tendencies. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says that whenever the Lord appears, he has three purposes. The first purpose is paritranaya sadhunam. He wishes to support those who have a saintly life, a spiritual life. The second purpose is vinashaya chaduskritam, that he wants to free the world from Adamic elements. Finally, there is Dharma Sangsthapanatraya, that he wants to establish Dharma. So in Lord Ramachandra's activities, as we will see, these three purposes are there. He wants to give protection to his devotees, he wants to free the world from demoniac forces, and he wants to establish something like Dharma. But in Ramachandra's activities, there's one extra purpose, different from all the other avatars of Krishna. He wants to give shiksha. Shiksha means instructions for living beings, how to get on the spiritual path. And I will talk mainly today upon the instructions of Lord Ramachandra. But before I start, I would like to request all of you to join me in just glorifying Lord Ram.
Yeah.
Goswami, who talks to Parikshit Maharaj, looks a little on the wristwatch. They have only altogether 7 days before Parikshit gives up his body, and he seems to jump over a little bit over the details of Ramchandra's story. He says this narration is well known, and it is a fact. There is not just one Ramayan, the Valmiki Narayan. There is one Ramayan which is told in Thailand. You will find on the walls of the King's Palace beautiful images of Lord Rama's amazing pastimes, which is hope-giving. It's a victory of the good over the evil. You will find it in South India, total different details of Ramayana, and North India, and Tulsi Ramayana, and that Ramayana. I think there must be somewhere also a German Ramayana. It's such an archetypical classic narration that it is well known, says Shukadev Goswami. I will, before I start talking about the instructions of Lord Ramachandra, give you a little summary. It's one paragraph, really. Lord Ramachandra was ordered by his father, Maharaj Dasharath, to leave home for the forest under awkward circumstances. You know, it was the day of Lord Rama's coronation as the king of the entire civilized Aryan world. And at that particular, in the morning time, something happened, some conspiracy, and as a result, a very awkward situation, Dasharath had to order his son to leave for 14 years. To the forest. Actually, that same day, Dasharath Maharaj left this world by speaking in an awkward voice, "Ram," and then he left. none of his four sons was there. No one was there to put fire to his funeral pyre, to the wood on which he would be cremated. No one of his four sons. It was awkward. It was tragic, reminding us that this world has tragic circumstances, even for the Supreme Lord when he appears in this world. But the Lord, as the ideal son of his father, carried out the order, even on the occasion of his being declared the king of Ayodhya. One of his younger brothers, Lakshmanaji, desired to go with him. And so also his eternal wife, Sitaji. The Lord agreed to both of them, and all together they entered the Dandakaranya forest to live there for 14 years. During their stay in the forest, there was some quarrel between Ramachandra and Ravana, and Ravana kidnapped the Lord's wife Sita. The quarrel ended in the vanquishing of the greatly powerful Ravana, along with all his kingdom and family. After this, Ram was crowned. So, very short, very brief, in one paragraph. But if you enter this pastime in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes and look for the jewels, you will find a lot. Mostly, the Lord teaches human beings through his devotees or his dealings with those who are close to him. And we will see how all the nine processes of bhakti are taught to Lord Ram, by Lord Ram, I'm sorry, through his devotees. And I want to show you this a little in this in this lecture. There are nine ways in which, according to the bhakti tradition, the individual soul can go to the Lord. Nine roads to heaven. More than heaven. Nine stairways to Vaikuntha. Nine processes. You can either do them all, or you can focus, as many devotees do, on one process. There is Shravana, something which we do now, where we listen about Lord Rama. This is exemplified by the great devotee Hanuman. It is said that Hanuman is a trenched Kala being. It means he's beyond time. What this means, whenever there is Ram Katha going on, Hanuman is coming. I think he would sit in Gadadhar's seat, but it's already occupied. So there is another seat. And it's in traditional Ram Kathas, there is a seat kept free for Hanuman, because it is known Hanuman appears everywhere where this Ram Katha is going on. He has a place still in this world where he stays. It is said, as long as Ram Katha goes on in this universe, Hanuman will stay, because he relishes to hear about Ram. This place is in Kimpurusha Bhasha, where he has a great deity. Great means huge, hugely built. And he engages in Shravanam Kirtanam, dancing. And he has these little things, where he, here we have a. little things that he often thinks is, he likes to listen to Lord Ram's katha. Kirtanam. The great example of Kirtanam is the saint Valmiki. Valmiki in his past was a dangerous man. He was he was a criminal, a murderer, and he met the great saint Narada Muni, who put a question before him, which this Ratna something was his name, could not, Ratna Karabakh, I believe, could not answer. It was, "You are committing all these crimes. For whom are you doing this?" And Ratnagaba, I think was his name, said, "For my family members, I want to maintain them." Then Narada Muni said, "Ask them if they are prepared to not just take the money, but take the karma also for what you do." So he asked them, he said, "My dear wife, my dear parents, you know how I make my money. I steal it from people, and sometimes I kill them. Are you also prepared to take the bad karma, or do you just want the money?" And they were, "This karma, we don't want to have anything to do." So he came back, and Narada Muni said, "Do you want to know how you become free from all this karma which is now waiting for you?" And of course he wanted to know, and then he was given the mantra Ram, the mantra which we chanted at the beginning. He chanted it for a long time, so long that the ants were building an anthill over him. And then one day he was mature. Narada Muni came by and he said, "Come out." And then from this anthill, a transformed man came out. He was no longer Ratna something, the murderer. He had chanted the names of Ram and he was visibly changed. To remind him always of this, his history, he got the name Valmiki. It means he who came out of the anthill. So once Valmiki asked the creator, Brahma, "Can you tell me who is it that has the best qualities as a being?" And Brahma answered with a smile, "Yes. There is someone who's gunavan, full of good personal character traits. There's someone who's viryavan, full of strengths, inner and outer. There is someone who's satyavrata, that means every word he speaks is the truth. And there's someone who's kritagya, who's so grateful to every little service that is rendered to him." He gave a number of 24 such qualities, and then he said, "His name is Ram." Yes. Valmiki, the one who was a transformed saint, you know, a sinner made us into a saint. Remember, that's the name I chanted all this time, in order to become free from my sin. He began to again chant the name of Ram, and then spontaneously within his heart he saw the entire pastimes of Lord Ram and wrote them down, and his writings became the famous Valmiki Ramayana. Yes? What? Microphone. What is with my microphone? Microphone is also there. Microphone G. So yes. So this is something wonderful. Valmiki saw the pastimes of the Lord and he glorified them in his writings. He made an ashram in the forest and he spoke about Ramayana from morning till evening. There is someone who is representing smaranam or meditating about Krishna. That's a process which we can also do. It is Sita Devi. When Sita Devi was kidnapped in the forest due to her otherworldly beauty, she remembered Lord Ram. She was held captive by Ravan, but she would not eat, she would not sleep, she would not decorate herself, and she would not even drink a drop of water. All what nourished her was Ram, her husband. You know, Sita is no ordinary woman. She's the goddess of fortune. When she was very, very small, she played with a ball, and as young children do, and threw the ball very high, and it got stuck in a tree. Now, to get it back, she was looking for an instrument that would reach up to the ball. And she remembered, my father keeps the bow of Lord Shiva, which is so heavy that 300 men need to be there to carry it. But she just went there. The bow was unattended. There was no one there. She took, as a child, this most heavy bow, reached up into the top of the tree and got her ball. Her father, Janaka Maharaj, saw this from the window. My daughter is really so strong. Every husband will suffer. So the one who will marry my daughter, so that there's no imbalance in the marriage, should not just be able to carry the bow, he has to be able to also break the bow. Ananda Vadan, you know everything about this. Yes. And so Janaka Maharaj made an arrangement for the marriage of her daughter. Only someone who is strong enough to break the bow of Lord Shiva can marry my little Sita, my Sita. Otherwise, he will complain if he's not strong. So Ram did this, and they married. When it's very beautifully described. When Ram came into the town, Sita, who was by then a young girl, was on the balcony and looked at this most beautiful personality. He had a greenish hue. He walked like a lion. He was well built, and he looked very confident and very full of gunavan, good qualities. So she fell in love at that time with Ram and thought, he is my husband. Then Ram went to the marriage, to the bow of Lord Shiva, and he took it effortlessly and broke it. At that time, Sita's heart was very, very blissful. Wow, now I found my confirmed husband. He has won the test. Janaka was so pleased that he came with a garland, and Ram said, stop. My guru just ordered me to break the bow. Now you're coming with a garland? This is not about marriage, no. I didn't know about this. I will have to ask my father before if this is all right. And Sita said, oh no, he so dharmic. Everything needs to be according to the rules of the civilization. And so Vishvamitra, who was with him, he was the saint who was with him, said, it's all right, you can, this is your eternal concert, Sita, you just, I will discuss it with your father, it's all right. So yes, Sita was very, very much joined with Lord Ram from the beginning, from the very beginning. And when Lord Ram was ordered by his father to leave for the forest for 14 years, she said, I come with you. But Ram said, the forest, it is a wild area, it's not a park, it's a jungle and there are wild animals, it's not good for you. Stay in Ayodhya, the capital town of our kingdom. And Sita said, when you are in the forest becomes Ayodhya. But when you are not in Ayodhya, Ayodhya becomes the jungle, the dangerous jungle. I will only be where you are. That's how strongly she was committed and how her mind was always with Ram. There's another process of devotional service. Padam Sevanam, serving the feet of the Lord. The example of this is Bharata. You must know that Bharata was one of the four sons of Dasharat Maharaj, but he was from another wife than Rama. The king had several wives in the old times, and his mother, Bharata's mother, wanted her son and not Rama to be the king. So she had two blessings that were given to her by Dashara, but she said, later I will ask you for this. So on the day of coronation, Kaikeyi, who was badly influenced by her maidservant Mantara, went to her husband and said, now is the time to give me your two boons. Yes, said Dasharat, what is it? Let Ram go into the forest and let my son Bharat and not Ram become the king. So Dasharat had given this promise, he would fulfill everything, and he kept by this. My dear devotees, this is a time where a word which was given was more important than a life. It is something which we don't conceive in our culture. We say so many things which we don't mean. For instance, I like you, or we say, I'm fine, and so on. But that was the time where a word had to match the reality, otherwise one's heart and one's life would break. No, that was so Bharata, when he came back, he was not there, but when he came back later and found out his brother Ram had been banished to the forest, he went with the whole army to where Ram stayed in the forest in order to convince his brother, I don't want the kingdom, you take the kingdom. It's described that when Lakshman, he heard there was some movement in the, very far away, that the architects broke the trees to build a road for this huge army to pass. And there was a loud cracking of trees. So he went on a tree to look out and he saw the flag of Ayodhya was there on a chariot, a strong chariot, and he could understand, oh, this is Bharata, he comes with the army. I think he wants to kill Rama, just to be sure that Ram doesn't come back throne for him. So he went to Ram and said, Ram, your brother is coming. First he takes the throne from you, and now he wants your life. But Ram said something beautiful. He said, Lakshman, why do you say this? Lakshman said, Bharata comes with the Ayodhya flag on his chariot. Ram said, Bharata has no intention to harm me. I can see his heart. You can only see his activities, but I see his heart. He wants to give the rule of Ayodhya to me, ignoring our father's wish. I like this episode where Ram's brother Lakshman had one idea, and he talked to Ram about it, but Ram could see right in the heart. My dear everyone, there will be a time when your brothers will not understand you. There will be a time when your wife doesn't understand you. There might be a time when a good friend will not understand you. But the Supreme Lord will always understand you. Therefore, our first shelter must be taken there. So, Bharata finally arrived at the little hut which Lakshman had made for Ram and Sita, and he said, I don't want the crown, I'm not able to rule it, I'm your devotee, O Ram, you please, I have come here with the entire army to bring you back to Ayodhya. Ram said, but our father told me 14 years in the forest. Bharata said, but he has died. Now I'm the king and I'm requesting you to return. Ram's answer was, the one who sent me into the forest, only he can bring me back from the forest. I will stay here in the forest. So Bharat knew, Ram is so strict with his principles, there is no way around him. He said, then do one thing, then give me your padukas, means your wooden clunkers, no? Shoes. And he took, it's beautifully described how Ram, whose lotus feet were so delicate that they became, or they were colored red when Sita massaged them. They were so delicate. When Ram stepped down from those wooden sandals on the forest, that all of Ayodhya cried tears. They were so moved. Bharata took these padukas. He took the sandals and put them on the throne. He would always sit next to the throne and look to the padukas, the sandals, and he would worship his brother Ram, and he would only rule this big burden. Bara means burden, and Bharata means the one who carries the burden, as a service to Lord Ram. That is how he did the Pada Sevana. In our tradition, we feel that the Lord is present in his sandals. For instance, don't know if we have, yes, there we have sandals. You can see of Radha Kunya Bihari, we have sandals, and sometimes the sandals are taken and put on the head of the worshipper, knowing that the Lord is approached through his feet, and even more, through his sandals. We have Radha Kunya Bihari, Radha Kanaya Lal have also sandals. I have many sandals on my personal altar, Because that's where the Lord is present. And you may have seen when you come to the temple, then what is it called? Shika? Something Shika? It looks like a crown, and on top are the sandals of the deities. You have seen? The priest blesses you. It's not a crown with which he blesses you, or king or queen. No. On that golden elevated thing, there are the sandals of the Lord, and Bharata worships. I will go now a little bit quicker. There is Archanam, which is done by Shabari. There is Vandanam, the praying to the Lord, is done by the sages of the forest of Dandakaranyam. There's Dasyam, or servitude. This is how you can also get to Krishna. You serve him. Like Lakshman. Lakshman was when his brother needed help, Lakshman came with Ram and stayed with him for 14 years in the forest without sleeping for 1 minute. Why not? Why no sleep? Well, he needed to always be there guarding Ram's welfare and guarding Ram's sleep. It's a forest, there are wild elephants and jungle animals and so on. And there are two processes I would like to focus on now. Sakya. Sakya means you can think of yourself and bhakti as the friend of God. This is not a distant God, it's a close God. There are some devotees in Ram Leela who did this. For instance, Sugriva. Sugriva, the monkey king, Sugriva was, Ram helped him when Sugriva was chased away by his brother from the throne. Sugriva was the king of the Vanaras, and Bali, who wanted his throne and he wanted his beautiful wife Ruma, chased his brother away from the throne. And Ram helped Sugriva to gain back the throne and his wife. As a genuine friend, Sugriva said, when he found out that Sita was kidnapped, the wife of Rama was kidnapped, he said, I will take my whole Vanara race, all these intelligent monkeys, you know, and I will help you to get back your wife Sita. Sugriva has spoken to Lord Ram as a true friend speaks to another friend. And I have found this verse in the Bhagavata. He said,
Na janmanunam mahato na sobhagam.
One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualifications. So you can't become a friend of God because you have a high birth, because you're born in an aristocratic family, because you're very beautiful. No, these material qualifications don't make you a friend of God. You don't become his friend because you're so eloquent, you can speak so nice, or you have a sharp intelligence. None of these qualifications, says Sugriva, is a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we are monkeys, uncivilized inhabitants of the forest, we have not taken noble birth, we have no physical beauty, we have monkey beauty. And we cannot speak like gentlemen. Monkeys speak. Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as his friends. This is the beauty of the Lord Ramachandra. He accepts everyone. I remember when Prabhupada came to Vrindavan the first time with his American and European disciples, we didn't know how to behave. For instance, we would be on a bicycle rickshaw, and then someone wanted to, you know, some American godbrother of mine thought, I pedal the bicycle rickshaw. And he told the rickshaw man to get back on the seat, and he drove very fast and laughed and so on. In India, this is very, 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 very. It's like in the West, it would be like urinating on the street. You know, it is not done. I was in the bushes, but the police came. So I'm just doing my business. they thought I was having bad intentions, maybe. So it's just certain things are not done in our civilization, and in Indian civilization, that is unheard of. That the person who drives in the rickshaw on the back seat jumps forward and pedals the rickshaw. So the mayor and of Vrindavan, Vishwambhar Goswami and some others, one day came to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, your disciples are behaving very unusual for our culture." And this bicycle incident was told, and other incidents. And Prabhupada said, "Lord Ram took monkeys and accepted them. I have accepted Americans and Europeans." We should not look like this. So, but Sugriva says, you are very, 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 very kind to all of us monkeys. You do not want to be impressed. You are not impressed by material things. My dear devotees, how often are we impressed? Oh, this person is so rich. Oh, this person has this position in the university. Oh, this person did this and that. For spiritual life, this is not a qualification at all. For spiritual life, you have to ask, is this person doing service? Is this person humble? Is this person thinking of doing good for others? Then he or she is qualified. And in the eyes of God, the flitter and glitter of this world is not important. By the way, it comes from just a small ring, one ring of his hands, all the flitter and glitter of the world comes. It is not so impressive. Anyways, I will end with one thing I told already to the devotees when we took lunch. It is something which for me personally is the most important part of Lord Ram's pastimes, because it speaks about a truth that is very relevant for us. When Lord Ram arrived with his army of Vanaras, you know, Sugriva and his people, at the banks of the ocean, they needed a way to bring the ocean, to bring the army across the ocean to Lanka and free Sita. And we all know this was done by the monkeys throwing stones in the ocean and building a bridge across the ocean. So during this time, an interesting episode took place. The brother of Ravana is Vibhisar. At the beginning of the creation, he and Rava and his older brother were asked by Rama, by Brahma the creator, I want to give you a boon, what do you want? And Ravana said, or the older brother said, I want to become so strong that everyone in the universe fears me. Brahma then said, okay, your name will be Ravana, the person who makes all others cry. What do you wish, Bibi? And he turned to the younger brother. And the younger brother said, I want to be a devotee of the Lord. Okay, said Brahma, your name will be Bibisan. And you will meet the Lord and worship him in this life. So Bibisan was a man of light, and the Ravana was the man of darkness. No? They somehow stayed together all the time. Bibisan tried to give his brother good advices to not be cruel to others. You must know, when you have the dark forces or command over the dark forces, it doesn't mean that you necessarily do evil. It's only when the dark forces get into your mind, then you turn around and become envious and angry and hateful, then it's difficult. So Bibisan tried to advise his brother to deal wisely with his power and not make others cry. But Ravan did not listen. So finally, when Ravan stole Sita, the wife of Rama, Bibisan said, give Sita back. This time you will be burning your hands and your whole kingdom, because Rama will come and take Sita back and punish you. But Ravan said, this is too much. You're turning now against your brother. Take everything away from Bibisan, he said. Take his clothes away. Take his wealth away and chase him out of my kingdom. Leave him only with his breath. So Bibisan had now he could not give any good influence to Ravana. He went across the ocean by his, he knew also the how to use the special forces. And he came to the beach of the ocean where Rama camped, and he wanted to surrender to Rama. But all his advisors and ministers said, no, see, Bibisan is the brother of the, you would say in modern German language, des dunklen Herrn, the dark lord, you know, or the dark one, you know. He is also a demon. He's a Rakshasa himself. But, yes, and they wanted to kill him. Rama asked Hanuman, Hanuman, what do you think? Bibisan, the brother of Ravan, wants to take my shelter. What should we do? Hanuman said, I have studied his face. I have studied the way he walks. And I have concluded he is a great devotee. Accept him. So Ram was smiling. And then he said, I want to tell you a story. He said it to all his advisors, all his ministers, all the powerful warlords of the Vanara army. They listened to the story. And I want you all to also listen to the story, because it's so deep. Once there was a man, he went into the forest. And as he entered the dark jungle, a tiger sniffed him and chased him. In order to save his life, the man found a tree and climbed on the tree. And the tiger walked around the tree, waiting for him. On the tree there was also a monkey. And the intelligent tiger said to the monkey, throw him down. This is a human being. He's mine. Throw him down. The monkey said, he has taken shelter, and it is sinful to give anxiety to someone who is already very worried and fearful. I will not throw him down. But the tiger said, but he's your enemy. Human beings, they chase monkeys away when the monkeys want to eat fruits from the trees. No. When a human sees you, he will take a stick and beat you. No. When the human being comes to the forest, he cuts your trees. He doesn't ask you for permission. He's an enemy, and an enemy should be killed. The monkey said, no, in my eyes, he's someone who's worried. He's in anxiety, and he has taken shelter in my tree. So the tiger went, ah. Then he said, my dear human being, you have dharma. You can understand, I'm extremely hungry. I need to eat something. Just throw the monkey down. Then I will eat the monkey and I will leave you in peace. You can climb down the tree. I'm full. I have no hunger, no capacity to eat. And you go back home to your village. The human being thought, good idea. He took the monkey and threw him down. The monkey just landed or fell in front of the tiger. The tiger just looked at him. He didn't eat him. After all, no one will eat monkey flesh. It doesn't taste, I mean, I don't know, but monkey flesh is monkey flesh. The tiger said to the monkey, do you see now the situation? You wouldn't throw him down, but this rascal has thrown you down. Now go up and throw him down. I am not interested in you. You are my brother. So the monkey went up. The tiger said, so. And Ram wanted to make a point. That's why he told the story. He said, the monkey said, the human being has broken dharma by throwing me down. But should I break dharma because someone else is misbehaving? I will not misbehave because someone else does misbehave. I think this is very important. Ram then at that moment spoke this very important shloka. He said, Sakrit eva prapannaya tamasmati chayachate abhayam savabhutebhyo dadam yetat vratam mama. It is my eternal principle, Lord Ram says, that if any living being takes shelter of me, even once, saying, I'm yours, then I award that person freedom from all fear. And he continued, I cannot refuse to receive under any circumstances one who has come to me in a friendly spirit, even if there is wickedness in him. My acceptance of him is not reprehensible in the eyes of good people. It's in other words, seen as good if I accept him. So this, my dear devotees, is God. He forgets your history of bad things. He is not interested in that. If you come to him and sincerely surrender to him by saying, I'm yours, then you will be protected from all fears. But of course, this cannot be a lip service, this saying, I'm yours. To say, I'm yours to the Lord means also to honor his devotees, those people who have surrendered to the Lord. I'm yours means I'm joining the group of people, your people, I become your people. There's one thing which Ramachandra will not tolerate, that is if we are unkind to any devotee of him. But if we have done many things, if we have sinned 1,000 times and even one more time more, but we can come to him and say, I am yours, my Lord, please accept me. Then Lord Ram will accept him. Then Ram said, therefore, I accept Vibhishan as my devotee. If even Ravana, his brother, would come tomorrow and surrender unto me, I would accept him. There would be no, I would forget everything. This is the beauty of the Lord. So I want to guide all of you now into a little exercise. There is a very ancient prayer to Lord Ram. We have photocopied it. It is called the Ram Stotara Namavali. It is a beautiful prayer. But why are here only six? There must be two pages, right? 78. It's the 108 names of Lord Rama. It's very quickly chanted. And I want that we all chant this together. There is good. I don't know how you will do it on the internet, my dear everyone. And also we are already a little late here. Kalakanta, das sind zwei Blätter, glaube ich, oder? Ja. These 108 names of Lord Ram are chanted as a sadhana, a spiritual practice, which will bring you very close to Lord Ram's lotus feet. Hare Krishna, how will we do this for you? Or can we send them a link where they can find it? Not really. I would suggest, or maybe we show it, we can show it to you on the camera. And you can chant it with us. This is very, very auspicious. Kalakanta, I need the second page, please. I have up to 78. Oh, yeah. Danke. 78, yes. Go Krishna. So let me say this. The way to chant this is you become aware of Lord Rama. Today Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken on the form of Rama. Have you seen on the altar? No, yes, middle.
Yes.
The central figure is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you focus on Lord Ram, and maybe I should just read to you. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says, all the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but especially Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and later Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, delivered many of the living entities present before them. No? Especially the three. Who? Ramachandra, Krishna, and Chaitanya. They delivered many entities, living entities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore represented in the six-armed form of Shatbhuja Murti, which is a combination of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Prabhupada says, the best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Shatbhuja Murti, the form of the Lord with six arms. Do you know where in European you have a form of the Lord with six arms? Bhagavadana. We must go to Bhagavadana. So the best purpose of human life. When I read this many, many years ago, when the world was young, and then I decided to wish for that Shatbhuja Murti, and it is there. And if you want to see this, you can maybe give Bhagavad Dharma your email link or whatever it's called, and he can send you a photograph of it. So we will now chant. Please sit properly. Now we have the chance to worship Lord Rama by singing together his 108 names.
Namah. Shabbat.
Iti Shri Ramastottara Shatanama Mali.
Krishna, Krishna, Thank you. I'm
Krishna, 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 Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna, just very briefly, thank you so very much for having us here. It was a very nice atmosphere. I think chanting these 108 names really made a powerful atmosphere, and I encourage you to take these with us, our present for you. And you can see, when you read the different names, there are various pastimes included. So when you read, for instance, when you read, for instance, the beloved of sage Vishvamitra, you should ask, what was that? Who is that? Or if you see Karadvamshi, the slayer of the demon Karad, what was this all about? Then Vibhishana Paritrata, the protector of Vibhishana. You can see in your eyes all these various features, qualities, names, pastimes of Lord Ram, and become mindful of him. It's very, very nice. I must say, we just come from Berlin. Ooh. And then came here, and it is such a wonderful atmosphere. Thank you so much. And all of the devotees who do such wonderful service here, thank you so much. I particularly have never seen this spring decoration with the spring flowers. It's a mixture of the Vedic culture and the Japanese culture. It is extremely enchanting our hearts. And Lord Chaitanya as Ramachandra, please all, before you take your prasadam, come forward and see the detail of his bow and arrows. And he has a whole Kirche, you know, many arrows are there. So all these are expressions of bhakti, and all these expressions of bhakti can hopefully melt our heart so that we can come over the influence of the mayic and karmic forces and come under the influence of Lord Ramachandra or Krishna. It's a divine energy. Thank you very much. I believe there is some prasadam. Is this true? Yes, must be. So you know where to take it. It's outside. And see you all again very soon, very soon, very soon, super soon. Hare Krishna. Oh yeah, and those who stayed with us online, thank you for coming in. It fills the room, although you may be somewhere else. You fill the room with your good intention and energy. We can feel you. Come again. Hare Krishna.